morning to you, brethren and friends. So good to be with you this day and to study God's Word with you. I invite you to take your Bibles out and be open to the Gospel of John. John chapter 10, as we want to begin our study in that text. Beginning with verse 1 of John 10. The Lord taught, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." In beautiful language, we find in Scripture the Holy Spirit describing elders as being shepherds, and the members as being sheep or flock. I want you to consider with me the implications of such a comparison, and let's think about it in view of what we just read in the sacred text of John chapter 10. Notice the verses that we read and what Jesus said there. The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. They recognize his voice. They trust that voice when he leads them out. The shepherd even calls the sheep by name. This emphasizes that the relationship that has been formed between shepherd and sheep is very personal. He leads them out, and they willingly follow him. The good shepherd cares so deeply for his sheep that he is more than willing to die for them. He will do whatever it takes to keep them protected from whatever harm would come to them. As Jesus said of himself, "I am the good shepherd," verse 14, "and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I'm known by my own." The theme, of course, for this year's lectureship is crisis in leadership. No doubt a much needed study among the people of God. In far too many congregations, there seems to be a crisis in the elders' relationship to the church. Unless I'm mistaken, in certain places there appears to be even a disconnect between the overseers and those they are overseeing. Let me ask you, what should the elders' relationship be to the church? I'm convinced, aside from husband and wife, that it should be the closest of all spiritual relationships within the local church. I understand and believe this is what the Scriptures present to us. For elders, it is a relationship with the church that is rooted and grounded in love, and from a shepherd's sincere love for his sheep flows his care, flows his concern, his familiarity with each sheep, each member, his protection given, and his self-sacrifice unquestioned. But what are some practical ways for elders to grow and cultivate their relationship with the church? Well, we're going to look at a number of ways. One of them, I believe, is simply to be friendly. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 18 and verse 24, We read, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Elders cannot just keep to themselves and the work that they do. They cannot exist as hermits in the church. In other words, they cannot ignore the sheep, the members. And they must interact with the members, all the members, and do so in a friendly and kind manner. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another. And if they are not a people kind of person, then they must become such. For being an effective elder among the Lord's people is all about being a people person. Friendliness, brethren, is a relationship builder, is it not? And unfriendliness is a relationship inhibitor and destroyer. And if the shepherds in the church lack friendliness, the members will not feel very comfortable following their lead, will they? I need to spend time with the members. When you think about the qualifications of elders in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, when we read over those, the qualifications to be met by the men who would serve as elders, which ones generally get the most attention and emphasis? Well, the ones that Brother Graham just addressed in the last hour. The family qualifications, right? And he touched on this point as well, how that can be emphasized to the neglect of others. And he's exactly right. I want to ask you, how much is generally said about elders being hospitable? In my recollection, in my experience, not very much at all. And yet the Apostle Paul mentions it as a requirement in both 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, and in Titus chapter 1 and verse 8. Why is it so important, do you think, for these men and their families to be hospitable? Does it not pertain, brethren, to the establishment, the development, and the growth of the relationships with the various members? Now, if all saints are to be given to hospitality, and we are, Romans 12:13, then how much more so should be the men that serve as elders in the church? You know, Mom and Dad set a wonderful example in this area for my sisters and me. Through our years growing up, they were always having company over for meals or guests to stay overnight or for a whole week. Some of our fondest memories, though, are those moments when our parents entertained in their home in various ways. It provided the opportunities for them and for us as children to really bond with others, to form a connection that otherwise we would not have. It provided the time needed to invest in becoming better acquainted for deeper conversations than oftentimes we have at the building. Hello, how are you? Goodbye. To share both serious and humorous stories with one another. Even now as a widow, Mom continues to be given to hospitality, and she has helped instill that important Christian practice in the lives of her four children. Brethren, we all know the wonderful benefits that comes from being hospitable to one another, 1 Peter 4:9. How crucial it is then to be practiced regularly by the elders in the church. It's one of the best ways that God has given to us to create, to maintain, and to strengthen our relationships with one another. You want to improve your relationship with the church elders, spend time with them. Open up your homes to them. Furthermore, be tactful. In Proverbs chapter 15, in verse 1, we read in the book of wisdom, a soft answer does what? Turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I think we all recognize the importance, do we not, of not just what we say, but how we say it. Just ask husbands. Just ask wives. And so on and so forth. Just ask brother. And I'm sure we've all felt at times to be tactful in how we've spoken to one another. But there seem to be some individuals that make a habit of being untactful. When it comes to the elders' relationship to the church, it can easily ruin the effectiveness of the elders among the members of that congregation. A number of elders' meetings with members of the church would have gone much smoother, accomplished a lot more, if the elders had only used more tact in what they said and how they expressed it. Now, what they said may have been the right thing. It may have been true, but it was not well received because they did it in a rough and harsh manner. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, we read there, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." You know, there's a very good reason why the inspired writer James tells us to be slow to speak. James 1:19. We need to give a lot of thought to what we say before we say it. And certainly elders do in their dealings and in their relationship with the members. Communicate often and communicate effectively. Elders must be good communicators, both publicly as they stand before the congregation and privately as they meet from time to time with the members. Like me, I'm sure you have witnessed firsthand the ill effects of poor communication as well as a lack of communication. At times, elders run a closed-door policy to such an extent that members are left in the dark on all matters pertaining to the work of the church. Now, this will not make for a healthy relationship. Can you imagine a shepherd not communicating with his sheep? Now, what sense does that make? It's contradictory to the very nature of the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep. You remember what we read earlier in John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4? "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Why do they know his voice? He communicates regularly with them. There is ongoing communication that creates a relationship of familiarity and trust. So should it be with the elders and members in the local church. I knew of one group of elders that would go out in pairs to visit with every family in the congregation. I never heard of that before. I'm sure it's maybe been done in other places, but that was a wonderful thing when I heard that. Those elders, there were four of them, and as I said, they broke off in twos, and they'd go see every family in that church through the course of the year, make sure they were in their home, of course, call them ahead of time. And it wasn't to get into their business, it was to get to know their flock. It was to establish a better relationship with them. It provided an opportunity to become better acquainted, to ask questions, to express concerns if there were any. Communicate often and do so effectively. Be a good listener. For elders to be good communicators, they must also be good listeners. James 1:19 again, they must be swift to hear. We also read in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." Sometimes we do that in our conversations with one another, or especially when we're maybe discussing a particular passage or a disagreement we're having. We don't really listen to what the other person is saying. We might even cut them off. We already have prepared what we want to say. Elders are not going to be very effective in leading if they don't take time to listen and digest what the members are expressing to them. And they're not going to garner very much respect. I'm afraid some elderships do not give members a fair hearing when they express concerns over a matter or seek answers to legitimate questions. And this becomes the standard operating procedure for that eldership. Their relationship with the members may never be repaired or restored. Be a good listener. Be trustworthy. Elders of all saints in a local church must be dependable to keep matters private. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. One of the qualifications is that they would be blameless in their character. Titus chapter 1 verse 8, that they would be self-controlled. And one area they need to be blameless and self-controlled is when it comes to sensitive matters, private matters. Some have failed to do so and created problems as a result. Sometimes elders' wives have leaked out confidential information. Sometimes the elder shares information from personal meetings with members that they had with other family members in the congregation. I've seen this take place too. And unnecessary problems result and affect relationships in the church adversely. In Proverbs 11:13, we read, "He who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter." Elders, most certainly, must be of a faithful spirit. We also need elders that are decisive. You want a good relationship with your flock that you lead, you need to become decisive. Some elderships struggle to make decisions. Yes, and then no, and then maybe. Some decisions get drug out over weeks, months, maybe years. Or the decisions that are reached in elders' meetings are rarely implemented. For example, withdrawing from the disorderly. We need to do something about this member. He hasn't been coming. Or there's some sin in this lady's life, and we need to talk to her. And maybe they talk to her, but they never follow through with what the Lord says to do. Withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly, 2 Thessalonians 3:6. But it's impossible to be strong and effective leaders in the church if elders do not know how to be or won't be decisive. In many places, the sheep are very eager to follow if the shepherds will only do their part and lead. Be decisive. But in making those decisions, elders must learn to judge righteously. They must not rush to judgment in being decisive. They must not pass judgment on appearance alone, as Jesus taught in John 7:24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. They must be fair and hear both sides of the story. We all need to learn that principle of truth. Proverbs 18:17, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. Hear both sides of the story. And they must be impartial judges. Maybe something difficult for all of us at times to be impartial, especially if there's family involved or a close relationship that we have with this one, and we don't have exactly a real close relationship with this one involved in the problem. Elders must set the example of being impartial in the decisions and the judgments that they make. They need to pray for wisdom, James 1:5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. They need to pray for wisdom as they work through the more difficult situations that arise. And there will be plenty of those. They need to lead by example. Peter wrote that elders are to be examples to the flock. 1 Peter 5, verse 3. How so? How are elders to be examples to the flock? Well, in every aspect of their lives. That's how so. If you expect your sheep that you shepherd, the members, to be faithful in their attendance, elders, you have to set the example and be faithful in your assembling with the saints. At times, some have failed to do so.
If you expect the members to dress in modest apparel, then elders, not only you, but your wives and your children that you lead in your home need to set the example of not dressing like the world, but dressing with modest apparel. 1 Timothy 2:9. If you expect the members to speak to their neighbors, to invite their friends, co-workers, non-Christian family members to services, to gospel meetings, you need to accept the example in personal evangelism. If you expect the members to be hospitable and given to it, you first must lead by example and be given to hospitality, as we talked already about earlier. If you expect the members to be punctual and not always be running late to services, you need to be there early and set the example. And of course, love the flock. As we mentioned before, everything that elders do should flow from the genuine love that they have for the flock that they shepherd. It is indeed a labor of love as they continually watch out for our souls. Hebrews 13, verse 17. No greater, nobler, or sobering task has the Lord assigned a group of men within the local church than to watch out for our souls. Indeed, they must love the flock if they so do. Now, there's two sides to this. The elders certainly have their part and need to take the lead in forming and growing their relationship. But also, the saints, we have a part in this, do we not? To strengthen the relationship. How can we do that? How should we do that? What do the Scriptures direct us to do? Brother Graham touched on a number of these. We are commanded to show them honor. It must always be remembered that the work that elders do is a God-appointed office. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Thus it must be an office, if it's God-appointed, that is honored by you and me. Members are to demonstrate this honor in both their attitudes that they display toward the elders and their actions. At times, saints have failed miserably in showing the proper respect and honor for their elders, and that resulting in a strained and weakened relationship. How we say something to them, remember we talked about being tactful before? They need to be tactful. We need to be very tactful. They're the elders. We need to show them honor. What we say to them, what we say when they're not around, about them, needs to display honor. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you. Overseers or elders rule over us. Acts 20, verse 28, 1 Peter 5, 2. And saints are to obey them. Notice it is not an option that is left up to each member whether you feel like it or want to obey the group of elders or a particular man in the eldership that has been appointed. Rather, it's a clear command of the law of Christ. You and I know the elders will not, and they know that they will not always be perfect in all the decisions that they make. But conscientious men of God will strive to do their best to lead the flock faithfully in the ways of God. And I know of only one exception to the command to obey elders, and that is when sin is involved. 1 Timothy chapter 5 addresses that difficult situation. The saints who truly obey the elders will do much in strengthening their relationship with them. It also to submit to them. Submit to them. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Brethren, we are commanded to be submissive to those who rule over you. For the Christian to be submissive to an elder, or any Christian for that matter, as we're commanded to do, they must and we must possess a certain mindset. One of humility, one of service. One that is willing to render honor or preference. Each member must be willing to surrender his will surrender himself to the direction, and guidance of the eldership. Some brethren refuse to submit themselves to the elders. They seemingly go against them at every turn and even justify such behavior when they do so. Please understand that when saints refuse to submit to the elders, they are refusing to submit to God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, Romans chapter 2 and verse 6. However, when saints gladly submit themselves to the elders, the work in the local church will be prosperous, it will be harmonious, when that is the relationship that exists. Love the elders. Just as the shepherd loves the sheep should respond in kind. How can we not possibly love those who are watching out for our souls? Hebrews 13:17. Jesus Christ taught in Matthew chapter 16 that there is nothing more valuable than your soul. And here are the men who have been entrusted to watch over those souls, your soul. How can we not love them? Great passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." Now, when elders protect the flock from false teachers, love them, because there's many churches where elders are not doing that. But when you have a group of elders who are protecting you from false doctrine, love them for it. When faithful elders carefully plan out a teaching program, the Bible classes that go on, love them that they're striving to edify and build up the members in the faith of Jesus Christ. When faithful elders schedule faithful gospel preachers to come and conduct gospel meetings, love them for it. When faithful elders actively support local and foreign evangelism, as the Scriptures direct us to do, love them for it. When faithful elders lead the congregation in assisting needy saints, Acts 11:27-30 as an example, love them for doing so. When faithful elders, as we spoke of earlier, withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly, practices faithfully church discipline, which seems so rare, love them for it, for keeping the church pure, for sending a warning to others. When faithful elders are willing to drop whatever they're doing at a moment's notice because you called them and you need to see them and you have a pressing matter, and they come because of their concern and love for you, love them for it. Genuine love for the elders will naturally lead one to honor them, will it not? To obey them, to be submissive to them. When saints love the elders, the relationship they share will grow stronger and closer as time goes on. Let me also encourage us and strengthen this relationship that we help their work be as pleasant as possible. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, the Bible instructs us to do this very thing, does it not? It says, "Let them do so with joy and not with grief as they watch out for our souls, for that would be unprofitable for you." What a incredibly awesome and sobering responsibility that elders have been given in the local church. And there are often many challenges and stresses to the work that they do. Some brethren don't see that. Others of us, well, if you've done it, you know what I'm talking about. And maybe some of us gospel preachers have been close to that and see the many hours, the stress, the tears that go into the work of shepherding the flock of God faithfully. And the many problems and needs that have to be addressed along the way can be quite taxing to them as well as their families. And so the New Testament instructs us to do our part then in helping make their shepherding easier and more enjoyable. And if we don't cooperate as they strive to watch out for our souls, think about it, it most certainly will be unprofitable to us, as the Scripture declares. Follow their leadership. Support their leadership. So long as they hold fast to the word of life, Philippians 2:16. When's the last time you expressed your gratitude to the elders? When's the last time you went up to them and spoke to them and said, thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for watching out for my soul. I know it's not easy, the work that you do as an elder, but I want you to know I really appreciate it. I love you for it. What do you think that's going to do to that elder? They need to hear those things. They need to receive encouragement. We all need encouragement. Elders need it too, maybe more so. No question, though, that when the members allow the elders to lead with joy, their relationship will only flourish in the Lord. And of course, pray for them. Now think about it. If we are to pray for our civil leaders, 1 Timothy chapter 2, should we not be fervent in praying for our spiritual leaders? Pray that God would grant the elders wisdom to lead the congregation in what is best. Again, James 1:5. Pray that the elders will, according to Titus 1:9, in discussion of elders who serve, pray that the elders will hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Pray that elders may prosper in their health so that they may continue to serve. 3 John verse 2. The elders and the work that they do should be on our minds to such a degree that we pray for them without ceasing. When's the last time you prayed for your elders? You pray for your needs. You pray for your family's needs. You pray about your health. When's the last time you've done that for your elders and for the work they do? And not just publicly when we're there in front of them in the congregation as we go through our worship services, but on a regular basis in the privacy of your home with your own family, your children hearing that and seeing that example before you go to bed. I know the elders would appreciate it. I always appreciate it when brethren pray for me and the work that I do. Don't you think the elders would appreciate that? And then great work that they do. But continually offering up petitions on their behalf will most certainly profit the relationship that exists between the shepherd and the sheep. Now think with me, briefly, about the problems of a weak relationship between the elders and the church. I don't know the state of the congregation where you're at, of course. Hopefully it's a healthy, strong, loving relationship that exists. It's not true in every place. But when there exists a weak relationship between the elders and the church, the elders will find it very difficult, if not impossible, to lead the flock that is among them. Try as they may, if their relationship is shallow or worse, non-existent, the sheep will not follow them. The local congregation will lack the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, Ephesians 4:3, that God desires and demands. You know, the saints may be present for every service. They're there during every gospel meeting. But the work of the Lord will become stale and stagnant if there's a weak relationship there. Have you ever noticed that in some churches there seems to even be an awkwardness between the elders and the members? They seem to more or less tolerate one another. They don't seem to be on the same page. I've witnessed it. I'm sure many of you have. They seem to be going in opposite directions. All of this speaks to the weakness in their relationship. And, of course, perhaps there is fault on both sides. Maybe the elders are not doing what they need to be doing to help strengthen that relationship. Perhaps the members are not doing what God expects them to do in strengthening that relationship. And if such is the case, they need to humble themselves and make the necessary changes to be right with God and right with one another and really help that work take off. But how many more churches among the Lord's people would be growing in faith and number if the elders and saints functioned in the body of Christ as the Lord intended them to function? There's nothing good that can come out of a weak relationship between the elders and the church. Satan wins. Brethren, we lose. Now, the benefits of a strong relationship between the elders and the church. Any honest Bible student will readily acknowledge that our Heavenly Father strongly desires and expects for there to be a very close, loving, happy, and unified relationship shared between the elders and the church. And as imitators of God, Ephesians 5:1, as imitators of God, since He desires this, so must that be our desire. Now, a close relationship between elders and the members will make for a strong, unified church. Such a church will be active in the Lord's work. We will be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord when there's a strong relationship there. The saints will, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sowing and watering of God's Word will occur, and precious souls will be added as God gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:6-7. Something else very important that will happen when there is a strong relationship between the shepherd and his sheep in the local church: truth will be upheld. Error will not be tolerated. We'll contend earnestly, standing together for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. We will abide together in the doctrine of Christ, that fellowship may continue. And we will not greet the one that does not abide. The local church will be kept pure when elders, members have a strong relationship. They'll be on the same page. Such a church will be a beacon of light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Souls will be kept safe on a regular basis from the attacks of the devil. I don't mean to say none of the members will ever sin. But when they're strong and united, they'll stand together against the fiery darts of the wicked one. And peace, joy, love will be the fruits of a healthy, close, loving relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. Brethren, indeed, much hinges upon a strong relationship between the elders and the church. When you have shepherds in the church who are meeting all their responsibilities as God outlines in Scripture, and the sheep fulfilling all their duties to the shepherds, much spiritual good will be the result. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. The inspired writer penned the following words in regard to the elders and the work that they do, as those who must give an account. Think about it. Those who must give an account for their shepherding. Account to God. And so it matters greatly how an elder serves and oversees the flock. Acts 20, verse 28. It matters a great deal the kind of example that they set to be followed by the members. 1 Peter 5, verse 3. It matters tremendously that they effectively watch out for our souls. Hebrews 13:17. It matters significantly the kind of relationship that exists between themselves and the flock they shepherd. All of this deeply matters because elders must give an account before Almighty God for the work that they do. The Apostle Peter wrote, "When the chief shepherd appears, elders that shepherd the flock of God faithfully will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Let that inspire you, elders. Let that motivate you daily in the work that you do. What a great reward it will be for the shepherds and the sheep who faithfully follow the will of God. Thank you for your good time and attention.